And one of the things I was afraid of early on, I don't know why I was so afraid of this, but I told Lisa, I was like, I'm really afraid people are going to pee on lawns. I
Oh.
think they're going to pee on lawns, and then the neighbors are going to be mad, and they're never going to want to do this ever
It's the
again.
middle of the day, Amy. Why would
Like,
people be
I
peeing
don't
on
know. I was
lawns?
just thinking people would be drinking, and they might. I don't know why, but I was so worried about it.
This is a real thing. Real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this. Stop this.
I've got plenty of time. I have nothing else going on today.
We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now. 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 Right now.
Okay, welcome to another episode of the Wedge Live Podcast. I'm your host, John Edwards. Today we're talking about Porch Fest. Technically, it's called the Uptown Porch Fest. I disagree with that very strenuously. And my guests are Lisa Martelli and Amy Goldstein, organizers of the Porch Fest. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Happy to be here.
I'm going to leave the geography stuff to the end because that feels not relevant. What is Porch Fest? Lisa, can you tell me what Porch Fest is and maybe give me some notable examples of other Porch Fests?
I did not come up with the concept of a Porch Fest. I feel like that's one thing. And so a Porch Fest can be a lot of different things. Our Porch Fest for Uptown Porch Fest is a single day, like music festival style, where you walk around a neighborhood and there's bands playing at overlapping times. And you can hop from porch to porch and see different people. That's our Porch Fest. The most notable Porch Fest, in my knowledge, is Somerville Porch Fest, which is a city right next to Boston. And that was the first ever Porch Fest that I encountered. And it was like the best day of the year. So when I moved here, I was like waiting, wanting a Porch Fest. Why isn't there a Minneapolis Porch Fest? It wasn't until I started to organize this one that I found out there are actually two other Minneapolis Porch Fests. So we have a Kingfield Porch Fest and a Powderhorn Porch Fest. The Kingfield Porch Fest is run very similarly to how we're running ours. I think one key difference is they do it on a weeknight from like 6 to 9 p.m. And then Powderhorn Porch Fest is more like a street festival. So they block off an entire long street, and they have, this year at least, they have three main porches that have multiple bands throughout the day and, you know, a lot of other things that you can do on that long street. And it's just one street. So that's how they do it. It's not really how we're doing it.
It sounds like yours is larger and, you have so many bands. I counted 29 on the website. You said you have a waiting list. How are you recruiting so many bands to this? Do you have a background? Do you know a lot of musicians? Are you in the music industry? How is this getting so big? Are you nervous?
I'm sometimes nervous. I don't really have a background in the music industry at all. I've always been like dedicated to Minnesota music. And even when I haven't lived in Minnesota, people are like, what kind of music do you like? And I say, local Minnesota music. That's the only genre that I care about. So I have the interest. We were nervous, you know, and we would kind of go back and forth, like, no one's going to want to play, like, we don't have any money to pay them. How is anyone going to do this? Like, we're really going to have to beg people. We would kind of be on that side. And then I'd be like, you know what? No, I think it will be okay, because musicians just like to play music and they just want people who want to listen to their music. So we were nervous about that from the beginning. It was absolutely no problem whatsoever. Facebook was, I think, such a huge driver initially in getting us our first few signups. I put a $1 a day ad to boost our Facebook event. And we did word of mouth as well. You know, like I know a handful of friends and bands and stuff like that. But then once people started to trickle in, then, you know, we would accept a band and they would post about it, and bands would see their posts, or they'd say, you know, I'm going to tell all my friends, or, I made an Instagram for Porchfest, and I would just like follow any musician, like any venue, just try to like get myself on anybody's radar at all. And luckily, you know, the optimistic side of us was right, and bands were just super excited about it. It was no problem. We have like, I want to say 15 on the wait list now, and we had to stop. I just felt bad, and I couldn't really keep up with telling people about the wait list, so I stopped accepting bands. But we still get emails of people saying, like, I know you're not accepting applications, but I really want to be involved. So it's been super successful in that way.
Amy, why are you involved? What is your motivation here?
Yeah, okay. So I got involved via Lisa. So Lisa joined our committee for our volunteer group that we're in. And she came pretty quickly and said, I really want to do this thing called Porch Fest. They did it in Boston, and I think our neighborhood would be perfect for it. So part of it was I was super excited about the idea. I did a lot of music growing up. And the whole reason I've gotten involved in the Wedge is I came from a neighborhood that was really connected to each other. Like all of my neighbors had benches and I knew everyone's name. And when I came to Minnesota, I missed that. Like I wanted to know my neighbors, and I thought local music on porches was just an amazing way to do that.
Oh, here's what I was going to ask. Are you still looking for porches? So you're looking for porches, driveways, yards, places for people to play music. You've got a wait list for bands. Are you looking for more porches?
I think in an ideal world, we would have gotten more porches weeks ago. And bands really wanted to know where they were playing immediately. And I had to kept saying, you know, we're waiting, because there was kind of this point. I was actually on an airplane and I'm like, I need to optimize this. I need to like have as many bands as possible and fit all of these host constraints and time it so that people aren't overlapping. So it was really a dance getting everything laid out. So there are some like blocks where I don't have any porches. And so if people on those blocks volunteered, that'd be like no brainer, we'll sign you up. But we've kind of already done the dance of a lot of the blocks in the Wedge. So I've kind of stopped trying with the porches. But if there were people on the right blocks, I think I actually just got an email earlier yesterday of someone on a block I don't have. So that'll be really exciting to hook them up with someone and pull somebody off the wait list. But in general, we've kind of accepted we have 29 bands and 18 porches, and that's what's happening for our first year.
Seems like you're having an easier time recruiting bands to play at your Porch Fest, 29. Easier time than I have recruiting cats. And you would think there are more cats in the Wedge than there are bands willing to play at a Porch Fest. I'm looking at this map, and it's very concentrated between 24th and 27th. This is like the heart of the Wedge. I'm impressed with how many bands you've got lined up.
Yeah, the bands were the easy part. I mean, we have the advantage of you don't have to live in the Wedge to play in the Wedge, but you do have to live in the Wedge to host in the Wedge. So we have bands from all over the city, truly. Only just like a couple of people that live in Uptown, maybe three bands live in Uptown. But maybe if you put an ad on your Facebook event for the cat tour, you would get more cats. Because maybe. I'm not paying any money.
I'm not outlaying any more money for this than I have to. I have printing costs for the signs to make it look like it's a grassroots pro-cat uprising. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting money into this. Let's have the disagreement. We've lost Amy. If people are wondering, Amy is having technical difficulties. This disagreement about Uptown Porch Fest versus the Wedge, you initially had Wedge in the name of your Porch Fest. And I think that was the right call because the Wedge is establishing itself as a premier neighborhood in the Twin Cities. We have the cat tour, of course, thanks to me. And I've seen you argue that people can't distinguish the wedge from the co-op and it's causing brand confusion, and therefore you had to change it to the Uptown Porch Fest. Most of the wedge is outside of Uptown, though. You've created more confusion with this name than you were trying to solve, I think. What's your response?
I heartily disagree that we've created more confusion.
More confusion, yes.
That maybe equal confusion, maybe. But, I mean, in reality, no. I think the average person thinks of the wedge as Uptown. I know there are people, we got a lot of armchair urban planners in Minneapolis. I know a lot of people are really focused on Uptown being this, you know, two or four commercial blocks in Minneapolis. Realistically, colloquially, that is not the case. Language evolves with society. Uptown, I'm an Uptown expansionist. Realistically, the wedge is part of Uptown. And you're right. I was hopeful that this would bring more wedge awareness. We started with Porch Fest in the Wedge. That was, I have the URL. It still redirects to Uptown Porch Fest. Not only was that kind of wordy, but I talked to a wedge resident, explained the whole thing, explained it's called Porch Fest in the Wedge, and he was still throughout the conversation confusing what I was talking about.
You said in the wedge. People, if you say in the wedge, that's weird. You should have said of the wedge, like Cats of the Wedge, or just Wedge Porch Fest. When you say in the wedge, you're creating confusion there, I think.
It's in the wedge neighborhood, though.
Right.
Of the wedge could be really of anything.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you could have gone with Wedge Porch Fest. Here's another thing. Most, if you've got a very expansive view of Uptown, then there's points to the west, there's points south that would be included in that Uptown.
You're right.
The wedge is only a quarter of Uptown. So people will show up to these other neighborhoods being like, where's the Porch Fest? I came to Uptown and there's no Porch Fest.
Well, they shouldn't, because all of our messaging is pushing the wedge very hard. It also has all of the addresses very clearly, or at least it will once I get all of that up there. But this leads to a great idea that I had, because organizing Porch Fest has been more work than I could possibly imagine. And I would love for a different part of Uptown to host the Uptown Porch Fest next year. That would be great. Then I don't have to do it, but it's still happening in Uptown. It can be in South Uptown. It could be in Whittier, and I won't even make a stink about that.
So you're already trying to wash your hands of this Porch Fest? You're already sick of it?
No, I'm trying to spread the good news, spread the neighborly bonds, spread the opportunities. I have had a number of people outside the bounds reach out to me wanting to host a band at their porch, and I have to say sorry. So there is an appetite for it outside of the wedge in other parts of Uptown, and I want to spread the good news of Porch Fest.
I'm just worried you're going to build a great big brand for Uptown Porch Fest, and you won't want to come down. Back down to wedge, just the wedge. It'll feel small time at that point. And then we've lost an opportunity.
How do you feel about an expansion of the notion of Uptown? Like, would that be so bad? What if this is the catalyst for Minneapolis's horde of armchair urban planners thinking, you know what? Maybe there's more to Uptown than these three commercial blocks. Maybe the wedge actually does have the essence of Uptown in it. Maybe that really is Uptown. What would have to happen for you to change your mind on that?
Lisa, I've cultivated this entire irritating online persona about being upset about the boundaries of Uptown. I can't give that up now. I think it's fine. Like, people talk, it's a way to communicate a general area of the city. It's fine. I'm not actually that upset about it.
But, well, then that's great. You won't get lost on your way to Porch Fest.
Because Minneapolis has 70 neighborhoods, and mm-hmm. you can't expect even a Minneapolis resident to know where all the neighborhoods are.
No. Like, and apparently you can't even expect someone to know their own neighborhood. Because
that's true.
And that neighbor I talked about wasn't the only one. I talked to my brother, who was really, this was the defining moment. He was out with his friends. All of them have lived in the wedge previously. And he texted me and said, nobody knows where the wedge is.
And that's very sad.
I know. That was the moment I was like, I am not tanking this event because of prideful name fidelity, and I went and I bought Uptown Porch Fest that night.
I mean, the Wedge Cat, nobody cares the name. I have the Wedge Cat Tour. The Wedge Live, nobody knows what Wedge Live is. Nobody knows what the Wedge neighborhood is. There are people coming from, like, out of state to go to the Wedge Cat Tour. And you give them an address and they show up. The name is what you make of it. The Wedge Live is a stupid name. And look what I've done. I've been on the local news promoting my cat tour over the years.
Well, you've been doing it for greatness. Years. Yes, you have. And we made the big leagues in 1 year by achieving Minneapolis notoriety by, maybe we turned to the dark side a little soon, but it had a payoff of, I think Uptown Porch Fest in its first year will be a lot bigger than the Wedge Cat Tour in its first year.
Whoa.
Just looking at the numbers, okay?
Probably. Also, when you put Uptown in the name of something, I'm less likely to go to it, even though most people will probably say, you live in Uptown? I don't want to go to Uptown. Really don't. So think about that for next time. Okay. All the people you're driving away who don't want to be in Uptown, they don't want to be Uptown. And I'm sorry for dragging this geography conversation out.
I think that's probably not who we want to have at Uptown Porch Fest anyway. So that actually that's a good thing.
Yeah. I like that you're promoting transit. You've been upfront with your potential concert goers. There's no place to park. Take the bus, take transit, bike there.
Yeah. There will still be problems with that, but what can you do?
It works out for the cat tour. Why do you have sponsors? I don't have sponsors. Why does your event have sponsors? The Cat Tour has never had sponsors. I didn't even think to ask anyone to sponsor it.
Yeah.
Are you some kind of business genius?
Big credit goes to Amy on this. So as Amy was saying earlier, we are in a group called the Lena Volunteer Network, and that is part of the Lena, like the Neighborhood Association.
The Lowry Hill East Neighborhood Association. Yes. That's what that acronym is, because the Wedge is known in official documents as Lowry Hill East, because we want to be associated with the fancy pantses over in Lowry Hill.
Exactly. So that is really where we started. I am very stubborn, and I really wanted this event to just like go off really well. And I didn't want to have to ask anything from anyone except for Amy, who has been like truly the most helpful. I don't think this would have happened without her. But so I didn't want to ask for any money from the Neighborhood Association. And they do normally give money for like, you know, much smaller volunteer network things that we do. Like they pay for flyers or like little things with events. But I was like, no, this is going to be like fully self-funded, self-directed. Oh, Amy's back.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I feel so bad.
It's okay.
But all your geography is noted, and I can go into the sports, the sponsorship stuff if you would like to.
Yeah. Talk about that.
Amy, tell us how you're saving this event single-handedly with your business genius, okay, getting all these sponsors. So,
I have to tell you, so when we were going around to the sponsorship places, when I went to Fire and Ice, I was telling them about it, and they literally go, the Wedge is so fun. This is right after the cat tour. And they're like, for example, did you know yesterday there was a cat tour? And I said, yes, I know there was a cat tour because I was on the cat tour. And they were like, this is kind of like the cat tour. And I was like, yeah, kind of. And so you single-handedly helped us achieve our sponsors.
Oh, look at me. I saved the day.
have gained the highest status that you were talking about.
I like thinking of Porch Fest as cat tour for bands. I like that.
You're going to love our merch, John, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Oh my God. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Why am I going to love it? Can I see it? Do you have it?
You can see it. You can see it at Porch Fest.
Oh, I have to wait.
No.
Is it for sale?
Oh, just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for sale. You can buy a shirt.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
That'll be impressive. Amy, tell me more about the sponsorships if you have more to say on that.
Yes. So the reason that we ended up doing it in the first place is honestly, we were making a list of all the ideas. At the very first day, we went crazy. Like we were like, we're going to block off streets. We're going to do all this stuff. And everything we said, and I started kind of doing the numbers in my head as I was like, we have no money. Like we have absolutely no money. And one of the things I was afraid of early on, I don't know why I was so afraid of this, but I told Lisa, I was like, I'm really afraid people are going to pee on lawns. I think they're going to pee on lawns and then the neighbors are going to be mad and they're never going to want to do this ever
again. It's the middle of the day, Amy. Why would people be peeing on lawns?
I was just thinking people would be drinking and they might, I don't know why, but I was so worried about it. And then we looked up how much porta potties were. And then we started looking up like, okay, if we do t-shirts, that would be super fun. How much would that be? And then we wanted to like flyer because we really want to be respectful of all the neighbors. Like, I would love it if an event I didn't know about popped up right next to me and there was a band, but we didn't want to catch anybody by surprise, especially with the amount of traffic. So we're like, okay, we're going to need to flyer the entire neighborhood. And we'll probably need to do another round for right by the porches. And so every time we started thinking about all of this, like the little dollar signs just kept going up. And so we ended up making a few different sponsorship options and we tried to make it in a way that it was entirely local. We had like a few things to always keep in mind as we were planning, but one of them was that it was all local. We didn't want Walgreens sponsoring or whatever it is. We wanted everything to be in the wedge ish, you know, around the area. And then all of the funds just go into Porch Fest. And if we had extra, we just decided it would go into Porch Fest next year. So it's things like water bottles for the bands or flyers so people know what's happening. Now we have t-shirts. We got a sponsorship from Underground Printing, who are just like the nicest people ever. And yeah, it's been awesome. Everyone's been really supportive and really excited to just do fun things with your neighbors, which has been cool.
It was another instance of we were like, this is going to be really hard and we're going to have to ask a lot of people and they're not really going to be interested. And we found that like pretty much almost without fail, if we were able to talk to somebody about it, they were super excited about it and they wanted to support. And so it was just a matter of like, there's so many things to do. And another one of the things that we have to do, and Amy did almost all of the sponsors getting, like the sponsorship achieving, was like her physically going to places and being like, oh, can I chat with your manager? And then just takes a quick conversation and they're super on board. And have just been literally so excited to do it. That's been like the most heartwarming thing is everybody's not just like, oh, fine, you know, corporate responsibility, whatever. They're like, this is awesome. Let us know how else we can help. Thank you for asking us to do this. That's what UPS said. So yeah, it's been really shocking, really successful. Took, you know, Amy's boots on the ground, but in the end, it didn't take a lot of convincing.
So you're making me feel bad because I don't get permits. I don't let anyone know. I don't flyer the neighborhood to tell them a crowd of 300 is coming by their house. It costs very little money to put on a cat tour, and I feel like you're being way too professional about this. It's making me look bad. Are you closing down streets? Are you paying for porta potties?
We are paying for porta potties. I was going to say, honestly, it's really impressive because what I like about the cat tour is how organic it is. So Lisa and I talked about this a lot. Like, we were thinking about like, okay, we do need money for some of this stuff just because our other thing is we really, in a perfect world, we could pay the bands, but it's just not in the cards. We have no money. But like, we talked about that and like, gosh, you know, these musicians come and they play and we want to be able to do something nice. So anyway, I was just going to credit you for the organic part of it. And the other thing I was going to say is the other reason we were looking at sponsorships were for the longevity of the event. So we've talked a bunch of times. We're like, well, I could just pay for it myself. Like I could drop a bunch of money and I'd be perfectly happy to do it. But we want it to continue year over year and keep doing it and keep growing. And that was the other reason we were looking at it. So you mentioned the permits. We've done a lot of the key components and the goal would be to grow every year. We have a few different pieces. But we did buy porta potties. That is something we spent money on. And I learned all about how many porta potties to have for so many people. And fingers crossed, because we're going to learn a lot this year.
I'm very impressed by that. You've got bathrooms. You paid for.
We got bathrooms. This is a real event.
Yeah,
but I do feel like we're sort of beholden a little bit since we're doing this sort of within the neighborhood organization. I don't want to cause issues for them. I don't want to cause issues for like the hosts who are kind of going out on a limb. But I do, I mean, the whole reason why I really wanted a Porch Fest in Minneapolis is because we have a lot of super wholesome neighborhood events, and this will be plenty family friendly, but I feel like we could just be a little more out there as a neighborhood. You know, it might bring just like a few more people together if we just have a little bit more like rowdy energy, which is a great thing about the cat tour. I love a bit of anarchy. It would have been cool if this had a little more anarchy, but we definitely felt a lot of personal responsibility to bands and hosts and like the people that we work with at the neighborhood organization.
So I'm curious about this, and this is probably very boring and technical, but what do you do when you go to the city and you're like, we're having a Porch Fest? What permissions do you need to do this?
Oh my goodness. So the first thing we got is Mueller Park, which we are going to call very lovingly the Village Green, because we think it's funny. So that was the first thing. We got permit for Mueller Park. We learned about getting food permits, and you need a sponsorship permit for the food. And honestly, I'm sure it's going to get very boring very quickly. And it was a lot of me and Lisa just reading the fine print. And we're like, oh, technically, since it's this and this, okay, I think we're fine. And so there's a few different things that we could get. And then in the future, we might full on try and like block off streets or something. But there's money involved and people involved. And this first year, we're trying to hopefully do something really well that we can build upon in the future.
There's so many permits, and we definitely had a moment where one of our vendors at the Village Green was like, oh, did you get an event food? Are you handling the event food sponsorship permit? And we're like, what does he mean? What
is this? This is why I never ask for permission to do anything.
I know, but I feel like you're off on your own. You're like your one man show. You don't have to, if something goes wrong, it's just like on you. And I feel like if something goes wrong with this, it's on a lot of people.
I mean, we could have had cat tour goers peeing on porches. You never know. Sometimes people go up on the porch to poke on the window and pee on the cats. That could have happened. That doesn't really happen, but it could have happened.
You never know.
That's what we're hoping. Everything is, you know, that's what I keep reminding myself is people are good people. Like it's I'm kind of trying to prepare for the worst.
It's a legitimate concern. The Porch Fest that I went to in Boston was much, much bigger. And it definitely happened all the time. Theirs was also middle of the day. And there just weren't enough bathrooms. And people would pee in a lot of different places.
I guess if the bands are too good, it will draw terrible people. If the bands are just so-so, then it'll just be people in the area who are like, yeah, I'm going to go see a band play. I'm sorry to denigrate potentially the bands that you have playing. But...
Well, I'm not worried about that.
We've only heard samples from these bands because we did not think it would be nearly as, you know, competitive as it was. I was showing my family. I went through all their Spotify's and SoundCloud. I was just home in Colorado and they were going through them. And it's pretty funny. My sister said, next year you should have a formal thing and they can all apply. But we were just so excited to get bands that, and a lot of them are awesome. We were listening to them. Like, they sound really good.
They're really good bands. And it was just kind of like, you know, there was an quote unquote application process, but we really did first come, first serve. Cause it was like, who are we to say this band doesn't deserve to be at Porch Fest? Like, even if they're not what I would listen to, somebody wants to listen to them. And like, they deserve a shot. They deserve a porch. If they're an early adopter of Porch Fest, hell yeah, we're going to give them a porch.
How do you ensure that they actually show up and it's not just like somebody on a lark submitting an application?
Oh, I mean, it's so much communication. We are on top of that.
It would be pretty funny, though, if we got catfished by a band. I really thought they'd be coming. And then... no, I think Lisa, they ask so many questions that at this point they deserve it because they really committed.
We're in contact with their porch hosts as well. And so we've connected everyone directly. And if somebody's ghosting someone, they got to let us know. So nobody's done that yet.
Are there any logistical hurdles you found that we haven't talked about yet? Something that's cropped up that has caused you difficulty, a problem you've had to solve?
Trying to think. I like for me, like it was funny because at the beginning, every time we talked about problems, like we would say, okay, like we don't know what the problems are going to be yet. So at the beginning, we were really worried about recruiting musicians, and we thought getting porches would be fine, but getting porches would be easy. We talked a little bit about the permits when we, there was one point where we got so overwhelmed and so over our heads that we're like, gosh, this is so hard. And I really hope that we can make this happen. But I think the biggest thing that's caught me by surprise is just how willing the businesses are to participate. Like, we really didn't have any expectations at all, but I've been really, I don't know, it's been really awesome just going around the neighborhood and everyone's pumped. Like, even if they can't do anything, they're like, but when is it? Can I come? And I'm like, yeah, you should definitely come. Everyone should come. So that's been kind of a surprise, but everything is a surprise because we have no baseline. Yeah. So everything that happens, it's honestly interesting because we don't know what to expect.
I think the thing that I struggled with the most was, like, I was the only person, you know, even in our little volunteer group, that has been to a Porch Fest. And so it was kind of hard to balance, like, people either have, like, really good intentions, or they're really excited about ideas, or they're really, like, coming from a good place with being concerned and knowing how to be like, I don't want to be, like, bulldozing this event, but I'm really confident, and I just, like, I've been to it before and it's so fun, and if you have faith, it'll work out. But also not wanting to be, you know, like, we've gotten so much help and so much excitement from all these different people. So it's like, I don't want to shut anybody down. And I'm definitely, I want ideas, but also this is what's happening. And that's been kind of hard. Or, you know, people have, like, I have a neighbor who's, like, so excited about Porch Fest. He's playing in it. And he's, like, this laundry list of ideas that would just be, like, this really cool thing to do. And I'm like, that is really nice that you're excited. But I don't have time to do all that. And no one else is going to do it. So please stop saying that to me.
Yeah, we need more doers and less idea havers.
I was going to say that's also would be one of the goals. Like, Lisa reached out, I think you reached out to the Boston Porch Fest folks, and one of the things they said is a lot of it runs itself because porches naturally connect with fans. So one of the goals would be in the future is, like, it can be very organic and people are like, oh my gosh, of course I'll be a host, like, Porch Fest, that's so exciting, and then it can just take on a life of its own. So that would be another goal for the future.
I'm less hopeful of that model. I feel like it needs an organizer, probably.
Well, there, that Porch Fest, they do have an organizer, but just the way that it's set up is, like, they have like a web app, and a porch registers, and then instead of a band, like, formally applying, they reach out to an available porch and say, "Hey, I would like to play on your porch." So
that sounds good. I like that.
Yeah, it, like, really, because so much of the work has just been, like, communicating and making all these things happen and trying to make a host happy and trying to make a band happy. And if they could just do that themselves, that would be really awesome.
So it's happening August 19th.
No, that's it. August 19th, 1 to 5. You got it right. That's it.
Do you have volunteer needs? Do you need people to do stuff on the day? And how do they sign up if you do need that?
Yes, I can answer this. So we do have volunteer needs, and if that's not enough, you get a free shirt, the shirt that we've teased. It's similar to the cat tour, if that's, like, a little bit of a spoiler. There's something in there that's kind of similar.
Oh, but is it an all-over print shirt?
I don't know. I can't say too much.
I might volunteer for this. I was not going to volunteer. If I get a free shirt out of this, I would.
Oh, and you get – there's also a free beer involved, thanks to Fire and Nice, one of our premier sponsors.
Okay.
And free, who knows what other perks we'll have going on. We do have a sign-up process. I should put it on the website. It's not on there. We just sort of have been circulating it among people who've reached out. But we need people to help set up and tear down. And we have a merch table, as we've discussed. There's shirts for sale. Merch/info. So we need people to be there, and then just general, like, event support. If things go wrong, I think we've done so much communication with everybody ahead of time. Hopefully that will be an obsolete role, but still good peace of mind to have somebody doing that.
You've sold me on this event. Will I be able to enjoy Porch Fest if I volunteer at Porch Fest?
Yes. It's just a one-hour shift.
Oh, okay. So you got, it's a very professional operation. I'm impressed. I'm going to be there.
And the other thing I want to say about this very professional operation is, like, we are just, and this is partially why, like, I kind of kept us, our identities anonymous for a while, is, like, we had no idea what we were doing. We just had, like, a lot of confidence and a good idea that sells itself. But, like, we don't know anything. We were Googling the permits that we needed a month ago. So I think we're realizing now, and I've started to realize over the past couple years, that, like, you just gotta ask, and you just gotta, like, do your best, and you just gotta try. And also, we've had to work really hard, harder than I expected we would have to work. But this is the product of two people who, like, have no experience, no connections, just doing their best.
Yeah, that's the key. And never let anyone know you're a regular person. Just be a faceless website. Look semi-official.
Exactly.
Look like a big faceless entity.
Yes, exactly. I think that worked in our favor. We did have one meeting with someone we sort of courted as our first sponsor. I'll keep them nameless. They were really nice to meet with us, but you could tell immediately they didn't take us seriously. And other people have met us in person and have totally taken us seriously. This was in the early stages of the event, but the person we were meeting with was just like, oh, okay, so you're going to have to think about this, and you're going to have to think about this, and, you know, try this, and, like, you know, it's your first year, so it's okay if you just have this on, like, one block. And it was like, okay, that's nice of you. You're being really nice, but also we've already thought about all of that, and we don't want to do what you're telling us to do. So thanks for your time. But yeah, that was a stark feeling of, I'm not being taken seriously right now. And that did happen, but it didn't deter us, because here we are.
Yeah. 29 bands on 29 porches. Do either of you have recommendations for the audience? It doesn't have to be Porch Fest related, but it can be. This is a regular segment we do. So are you enjoying anything lately? Do you have a new hobby or a place you like to go to or walk in or bike through? It can be anything. A movie you enjoyed. What are you enjoying? What's making you happy lately? Amy?
Great question. I'm going to have to say salsa dancing. I've been, like, in and out of salsa dancing these last few years, and I'm really into it right now. So there's lots of... I'm not paid by any of them. I'm like, there's lots of studios around here you could take lessons from.
Where should people go? Where do you recommend?
I go to Conga on Wednesdays. That's where I've been going social dancing. There's so many places. You were talking about Facebook. There's a bunch of events on Facebook. That's probably another reason to stay on Facebook, I guess. Yeah, I've been obsessed with it. I don't know why. Something about it's just been very fun lately. So that's mine.
The thing that I've been enjoying this summer is I've been playing a lot of pickup soccer, a lot more. I mean, I haven't played soccer for 10 years, and this year my friends and I started doing pickup soccer. So we go, I will reveal my location, even though we go to it because nobody ever plays soccer there, but we play at Lindale Farmstead Park. It's always open. And it's just sort of ballooned into, you know, started a few people being like, watching the World Cup, let's play soccer. And now we have a big sort of phone tree group that just shows up and we play soccer. So that's been fun. It's fun to, like, have a reason to run as fast as you can as an adult that's not just jogging.
Yeah. Well, my guests have been the masterminds of the Uptown Porch Fest, which is a music festival happening on porches throughout the Wedge neighborhood. 29 bands so far. You can volunteer. What's the website, Lisa? Give that to me.
UptownPorchFest.com.
Okay. Lisa Martelli and Amy Goldstein, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to get to know some neighbors a little better. I'm John Edwards, your host. This has been the Wedge Live Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is a real thing. Real thing.
None of you have the balls to stop this.
Today. We're in the Wedge neighborhood right now. 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 Right now.